what's going to happen to you. As a nation, you're going to be stripped down naked and marched off to execution yonder in a distant land. I'm bleeding on the inside. God has given me an identity with you, and I want you to know what's going to happen to you. They said, oh, go home. Who wants prophets today? We've never had it so good. We're an affluent society for one of the few times in our history. Leave us alone. Don't be a rabble-rouser alarmist. Don't bother us. And so they went on home. Jeremiah raised his foot, walked just like that, like a chaplain, garbed in black, marching beside a doomed man up a scaffold steps and right out to the hangman's noose where the nation was going to its doom. And apparently nobody cared. A few were interested and sympathized, but nobody cared. Now quickly, I want us to see the last possibility. The last possibility is the one, and if you could hear this the way Jesus said it, it would stupefy you. It would amaze you. It's what you might call identification or empathy. Now, empathy, pathos, means to feel or to suffer. The prefix means together with, on the inside of, in suffering. Somebody who has an experience with the other person where there is such identity that he feels the other person's need as if he were actually in that person's body. Now get this story. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where that man was. And when he saw him, now that's where the similarity between him and the other two end. He had compassion. The word is the Greek word splachna. It's the word we get our intestines from. He had an organic recomposition on the inside of his stomach. There was a growling, disturbing something took place on the inside of the lower part of his stomach. He had compassion on him. His guts went out to that man. He had compassion on him and went to him. You see the identity? He went to him and bound up his wounds. He touched him, poured in oil and wine, picked him up and set him right up on his own donkey and brought him to a hotel and took care of him. The next day he said, here's what you need, and gave the innkeeper 2 pence and said, if you need any more, when I come again, I'll pay all of it. Now what does that mean? This man acted toward that man not just like he would want somebody else to act toward him, but as if he were that man. He said, he got down there himself and said, please, somebody help me. Somebody reach down here and touch me. Don't let me bleed to death here. Somebody identify with me. These others have passed by, and my situation gets progressively worse. Just reach down and touch me and identify with me. Empathize with me. Become one with me. Somebody minister to me. Touch me. Contact me. Do something. You heard this cry all over our nation today. People with wounds, deep wounds on the inside out of which they're bleeding humanity, are crying out, somebody do something. Somebody touch me. Somebody contact me. Somebody minister to me. Somebody identify. Somebody empathize with me. If you don't soon, it's going to be too late. And a 28-year-old Kitty Genovese can march down the street yonder in New York City, and a man stabs her, and she screams out loud, and 38 people come to the windows and look out, and nobody comes out. She says, I'm bleeding, and I may be bleeding to death. Nobody comes out. The man comes back in boldness after 10 or 15 minutes and stabs her a second time, and she screams again, and the people look out, and she says, I'm bleeding, I've been stabbed. And the man runs off and comes back again in 10 more minutes, and 38 people said, yes, we opened our windows, we saw her, we heard her, we did not do anything. Now, I'm not accusing them. I do not know what I would have done in that situation. I'm saying we need a violation of that attitude that gets us into identity with people like that, where it's as if every time the knife struck, it struck in the vitals of my stomach and the pit of my life. And I feel as she felt. Now, this is compassion, where there is a deep stirring on the inside, and it may cost, it may hurt, it may pain, it may rivet some lines that otherwise would not come across your brow. It may wither white some hairs on your head prematurely. It may cause a cataclysmic disturbance on the inside where you end with an ulcer or heart attack or something like that. But Jesus Christ gave not just his hands, but his heart and his liver and his lungs and his body in identity with you in order to reach you. And that's what he calls for today. Somebody identified it like this. Empathy is your pain in my heart. That's exactly what God calls for with us. Nothing else will do today but that. It's like the woman walking down the street. She saw three little playing children, and they were weeping out loud as if their hearts would break, practically shrieking. And she stopped and saw no cause, and they were not manhandling or mishandling each other. And she turned and stopped and put a hand on a shoulder and said, "Why are the three of you crying?" And the other two said, "Because we've got a pain in Johnny's stomach." Now that's empathy. That's identification. Where what they suffer, I feel. And that's what this man did. This is what compassion is. It is that personal identification that allows me to stand in another's shoes and look at life through his eyes and wrap his skin around me and take all the thrust that come at him falling into me. Let me dare you to do something. If you own your business, get inside of your employee's shoes and zip up their skin around you and see how they look at you. That's the only answer to the abysmal cleavage between capital and labor that Jesus Christ is allowed to break in. That's the only answer. Look at it not just through their eyes, but with their eyes, from the inside of their lives. I dare you, are you listening? White man, 20th century affluent white man, I dare you to climb on the inside of a black skin and zip it up around you and see how you would feel. I mean, feel like they feel. I dare you to watch them with a, identify. When you drive down the street, if you cannot do anything else, climb inside that man's skin as he's brightly dressed and as he's flaunting society and maybe even rebelling and violating somebody else's property or somebody else's wife. See how you would feel if you had been suppressed and oppressed and crushed down for two centuries in a nation that prides itself in its freedom, equality, choice, privileges, rights. Oh, listen, I believe this is the only answer. And unless we do this, we're going to see an increase of what we are experiencing right here in our community. Oh, please, I charge you, as God deals with your heart, climb inside that man's skin and look at it the way he sees it. Now, of course, there's a lot there that's not commendable, a lot there that's a violation, but look at it as he sees it. See how you would feel in his shoes and in his skin and in his place. This is identification. This is empathizing. This is feeling on the inside of the person with him. This is what Jeremiah meant when he said, "I sat where they sat. I moved them out of the chair and put myself in their place. I sat where they sat." Now let me draw to a conclusion like this. What if Jesus had only been apathetic, indifferent? One of the playwrights said, he showed God in council, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And before the first Christmas ever dawned, he has one of them saying to the other one, "Why, Father, man is a rebel. Why don't you just leave him alone?" And if you want to know what hell is, there's the classic definition. Man abandoned by God, left alone. Where heaven never converses with man and never exchanges with man. There's no intercourse between God and human beings. No exchange, no conversation, no traffic, no commerce, no Jacob's